The prosecution's star was the amazing Terry Holland. From October 1984 to January 1985, Holland had been locked up in the Pontotoc County Jail for writing bad checks. As far as unsolved murders went in Oklahoma, it was a productive and remarkable four-month stay. First, she claimed she heard Carl Fontenot admit everything about the Denise Haraway kidnapping and murder. She testified in the first Ward Fontenot trial in September 1985 and gave the jury all the lurid details that Detective Smith and Rogers had furnished Tommy Ward during his dream confession. After she testified, she was given a light sentence on the check charges in spite of having two prior felonies. Ward and Fontenot went to death row. Terry Holland fled the county. She left behind some unpaid court fines and such, nothing the authorities would take seriously under normal circumstances, but they found her and brought her back anyway. Facing more charges, she suddenly had some astounding news for the investigators. When she was in jail hearing Fontenot's story, she also heard Ron Williamson make a full confession. What an amazing stroke of luck for the cops. Not only had they generated a dream confession, their favorite investigatory tool, but now they had another snitch, their second favorite weapon. Holland was vague on exactly why she had not told anyone about Ron's confession until sometime in the spring of 1987. Over 2 years had passed without a word. She was never asked why she rushed to tell Smith and Rogers about Fontenot's admissions. On the stand during the preliminary, she had a grand time with her fiction. With Ron absent from the proceedings, she was free to create all sorts of tales. She told of one episode in which he yelled into the phone at his mother and said, "I'll kill you just like I killed Debbie Carter." The only telephone in the jail was on a wall in the front office. On the rare occasions when inmates were allowed to make calls, they were forced to lean over a counter, stretch to get the receiver, and talk in the presence of whoever happened to be working the front desk. Eavesdropping by another inmate was unlikely, if not impossible. Terry Holland testified that Ron once made a phone call to a church, asked someone there for cigarettes, and threatened to burn down the place if they didn't bring him some. Again, no one could verify this statement. And she was not quizzed on the layout of the jail, and how exactly did a female prisoner get so close to the men. Peterson led her along. "Did he ever say anything that you overheard him say about what he had done to Debbie Carter?" "Yeah, he was talking in the bullpens," she answered. "It was right after they brought in Tommy Ward and Carl Fontenot." "What did he say in the bullpens in relationship to what he said he had done to Debbie Carter?"
"He just said that, I don't know how to say it. He said she thought she was better than he was and that he showed the bitch she wasn't."
"Anything else?"
"He said he made her make love to him, only that's not how he said it. I don't even remember how he said it. He said that he shoved a ketchup bottle up her ass and her panties down her throat, and he taught her a lesson."
Bill Peterson plowed ahead with his leading questions.
"Did he say anything in relationship about Debbie should have come off of it or anything like that?" Peterson asked.
"Yeah, he'd try to go with her, and she didn't want nothing to do with him, and he said she'd been better off if she would just come off of it and give it to him."
"And that he would not have had to do what?"
Peterson asked, desperate to prompt his shaky witness.
"Wouldn't have had to kill her."
It was remarkable that Bill Peterson, as an officer of the court and charged with the duty to seek the truth, could elicit such garbage. A crucial part of snitching is getting paid. Terry Holland was allowed to plea bargain herself out of trouble and out of jail. She agreed to a monthly payment plan for restitution, but soon abandoned her obligations.